Let's turn in the scriptures to the book of Ezra and chapter 5. Ezra chapter 5. Read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 17. Let's remember the last chapter. The people of God had started to build upon the foundations, the temple and the walls. And then the adversaries came and they were stopped. They were forced to stop. And here in chapter 5, we see then what happens. So, Ezra chapter 5, verse 1, these are God's words. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them. At the same time came to them Tatnai, governor on this side the river, and Shetharboznai and their companions, and said thus unto them, Who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? Then said we unto them after this manner, What are the names of the men that make this building? But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cause them to cease, till the matter came to Darius. And then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. A copy of the letter that Tatnai, governor on this side the river, and Shetharboznai and his companions, the Apharsarchites, which were on this side the river, sent unto Darius the king. They sent a letter unto him wherein was written thus, unto Darius the king, all peace. Be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea, to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones, and timber is laid in the walls, and this work goeth fast on and prospereth in their hands. Then asked we those elders, and said unto them thus, Who commanded you to build this house and to make up these walls? We asked their names also to certify thee, that we might write the names of the men that were the chief of them. And thus they returned to us answer, saying, We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build the house that was built these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. But after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon. But in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house of God. And the vessels also of gold and silver of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, and brought them into the temple of Babylon. Those did Cyrus the king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor, and said unto him, Take these vessels, go, carry them into the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be builded in this place. Then came the same Sheshbazzar and laid the foundation of the house of God which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, even until now, hath it been in building, and yet it is not finished. Now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. Those are God's words. So again, the adversaries of the Jews, the Samaritans, or those from the Samaritans, forced to stop the work of the temple. The last chapter here, we should have already known that the Lord is going to revive this work, and He's going to make sure that His temple is built so that His presence is amongst or manifested amongst His people for their worship of Him. It's hindered by a physical force on earth, but revived by the Spirit of the Lord of hosts. We see there in verse 5. It is of the Lord that they were moved to build again. Verse 2, through verse 2, the prophets prophesied. What does that mean? It means the Lord spoke through His prophets to the people. The Lord came and called them to build the house. They were forced to stop, and the Lord says, no, you must build. And so what is man to do when civil rulers say, no, you can't worship, no, you can't do this or that, when God commands to do so? You are to do so. You are to submit to the King, even Jesus Christ, in all things. And so the leaders lead in this work of rebuilding the temple. And then through verse 5, you know, there's some enemies that come up again. And they begin to question, why are you building again? But the eye of the Lord, verse 5, was upon the people. And the adversaries could not cause them to stop working. And so then they send a letter to King Darius of Persia, sent by these seemingly mild adversaries compared to the ones in the last chapter. These are not forcing anything, not trying to force them to stop. But they write to King Darius that he would tell them what to do. The Jews as well in this are able to represent by God's grace their position. And God, by His good providence in time past, right, has given a decree through a king to build the house, right? King Cyrus, who came before King Darius. And so they ask to look in the records, the very last verse there, look in the records and see. King Cyrus has made this decree to build the house. And so they continue building. And so here we see that the Lord does provide for His people worship. He always provides for His people worship when they are seeking Him. And that according to His decree. He can stop His worship on earth. He very much can, as He did with the Jews in the Babylonian exile and destroyed the temple, destroyed worship. And He can revive it. And He can send His word and save souls. And when our enemies attack us, we see here that the Lord will vindicate us at the right time. At the last chapter, it didn't seem like the Lord was going to set things right. But that they had to stop building, even by the decree of King Cyrus or King Darius. But even when our enemies attack, the Lord will, at the right time, according to His will, vindicate His people, and He will set up His worship because He is perfectly just and righteous. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, who reigns over all as our Mediator and King, even over all nations, over this nation. He is King of Kings. He's the ruler of rulers. So even all the civil magistrate, the government today, are under Him. And they are called to kiss the Son, lest they perish. They are to bow before You, before Your Son Jesus Christ, or they will perish forever. My Father, here is King Darius, we've read about in the past. Did not bow to You, did not kiss the Son, did not bow before the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. And yet in Your good providence, You still work through Him. Just as You work through kings and rulers now, according to Your will, to bring about exactly what is to come. Even at times, judgment because of the citizens of our nation or other nations. and blessings when the people seek you and follow you. In our day, there is much judgment. We see that because of the evil of the people of our nation, of the wickedness of adulterers, murderers who bring about suicide to older folks and killing babies in the womb and children. Even the desire to kill children outside the womb in our day. We see as well, at least by reports, if it is true, we know you know, Father, but if it is true, with all the flooding and things that have happened on the East Coast, if there is a government that is keeping aid to those in need, they are murderers. And Father, it is our desire that those people, even though they might not be Christians, for our love of our common man and neighbor, we desire that they would be provided for and preserved, and that you would bring about such great opportunities for Christians in that area and any who go there to help and serve. Give them opportunities to proclaim the gospel and testify of the truth that is found in Jesus Christ. That why judgment comes like a hurricane and flooding is because of our sin. Because you are a just God and a holy God, but also a good God to bring about these things so that people would see that a greater judgment awaits all. The eternal judgment. Eternal judgment that we will hear of even this morning when we consider what is to become of Herod Antipas and his beheading of John the Baptist. Father, we ask that you would bring about salvation and send your Spirit in these days to people like who are in need, to the poor and the weak, the suffering and the afflicted, that they would see their need of salvation found in Jesus Christ alone. Father, we pray the same for all of us here. We know that we have sinned against you. Each one of us has sinned against you. We continue to sin against you because we are weak. We still love the world when we ought not. We're still zealous for idolatry instead of for good works. And desirous not of you and your Son Jesus Christ and communion with you, but rather desirous of the property and worldly things and entertainment and things like these that are here today but gone tomorrow. These things that perish. But you never perish. You are eternal. You are infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in your being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. You're a God who is great and mighty, and a God who is merciful and good. A God who's holy and just, a God who is loving to your people, and even commonly to all people. For all people are not as wicked as they could be, but by your common grace you hold them back, as it were, and you give many opportunities for many of these people to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You're a good God. Merciful God. We don't deserve to hear the gospel today, even though we're your people. We don't deserve to hear of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who saves sinners by His perfect life in accordance with your law, and His perfect death where He received on the cross the full unmitigated wrath that comes from you against our sin. And we crucified Jesus Christ. We killed Him. We murdered Him because of our sin. And so, Father, forgive us of our sins that we keep on committing, and show mercy. And you are a merciful God. You are a God who, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us pardon us of all of our sin, to cleanse us of those sins, and make us righteous in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, your Son. So pour out, again, your Holy Spirit. Pray that you would be with our children. Children in the womb, children who are here amongst us, sitting in the chairs. And pray for them that you would turn their hearts to you as well. They need Jesus Christ and salvation in Him because they're sinners just like us. And so we pray that you would pour forth your Spirit and change their heart and make their hearts willing and desirous to have Jesus Christ as their Savior and believe and repent of their sins. Pray as well that you would be with those, not just our souls, but our bodies, because you've made us body and soul, not just souls. Pray that you'd be with John Gordetsky and grant him strength and healing, the ability for the Gordetsky family to be here and to worship you Lord's Day after Lord's Day as they take care of John. Father, we pray that you would uphold John for many days, many years, on what we would call a normal lifetime, if that would be your will. That you would grow him in his brain and his body. You protect him from health issues. These things, Father, we desire, and yet we trust in your will. Yeah, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That you would grant to him the number of days that you've decreed and ordained, and that we would worship you in all of them. Father, we pray as well for the Helm family sick, any others who are sick. I pray that you would grant to them and any others who are sick that you would grant healing and strength and greater immunity, a greater immunity for all of us as we come into that season of the year where we often get sick. Pray for Andrea as well during this time because of her medication she's on, weaker in immunity. Pray that you would uphold her. And that you would bless us as we seek to come to the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day, that you would grant to us in this week ahead preparation, a godly preparation of examining whether we're in the faith, examining our hearts, our minds, whether we love Christ, our repentance. Is there repentance of our sin? To examine what sins we're committing, where our idols are, and to put all these sins, wicked evils, to death, that we would grow and be strengthened in faith in Jesus Christ, your Son. Be with us as a congregation and grant us your word. Do not take it from us as you have done in the days of old, in times of the Jews, but also in the time of your church, following Christ's ascension. You have done so at times. Father, we pray that you would keep your word proclaimed here, wherever we gather, and that you would uphold your people, sanctify your people, cleanse us of our defilements, and put to death the sins of the flesh. Father, we pray that you would protect us from the evil one in that sense, protecting us from our sin and leading us not into temptation, delivering us from evil. Protect us from the evil one who would like to get a hold of us to turn us from worshiping you and honoring you and glorifying your name. Rather, Father, we pray that your kingdom would grow, your name would be exalted, that your fame would abound throughout all nations, and that nations would turn and bow the knee in covenant with Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.